So as I've just reminded you, the second hour of our show today is given over to a conversation around pigmentation disorders. Quite appropriate and completely accidental. I can't take any credit for planning it this way, but the conversation is happening on the 13th of June, which happens to be International Albinism Day. And we'll talk about the causes of albinism and other pigmentation disorders during that second hour. For now, though, I want to draw attention to some of the social aspects around this condition, because as we mark Albinism Day, I've seen a message from our SADC leaders calling for intensified steps to end attacks on people living with this condition. Sadly, we know there are a number of myths which prevail around this concept, myths which can have a devastating impact and even fatal consequences. And the UN warning us of some pretty alarming stats about what is going on in Southern Africa. To chat to us about this, I'm delighted to welcome on the line Nomasonto Mazibuko, who is the chairperson of the Albinism Society of South Africa. Nomasonto, it's lovely to have you on the show again. Welcome to Cape Talk.
Thank you very much, Pepper, and thank you to your listeners.
Now, the UN's telling us that nearly 80 people living with albinism have been murdered in Tanzania alone since the year 2000, that the figure is 20 in the last 5 years in Malawi. Do we know at all any stats for South Africa? Is it something that is of grave concern to you in this country as well?
Yes, it is. In South Africa, we've got only two reported cases of two people, one in 2015 of Tandazile Mpunzi, and in 2018, in January last year, Kapsile Shabane was kidnapped and killed from her home.
Absolutely terrible, terrible incidents. Can you explain a little bit to our listeners why it is that people living with albinism can be targeted for this kind of attack? Because it's not just another violent crime of the kind that makes the headlines every day.
Yeah, the issue is that, Pepper, people in Africa believe in witchcraft. And there's a tendency to say, or a myth to say, our body parts give luck. And in Malawi and Tanzania, they say those people who are fishermen, if they get a finger or a hand of a person with albinism tied to their bait, fishing bait, they catch a lot of fish. And those who work in the mines, if they've tied our skin around their waist, they are safe, because you know it's very dangerous working in the mines. So the incidence in South Africa has been very, very crucial, because foreigners come into our country and they come with this mentality that people with albinism give luck. And we find now many people come through with that tendency. And the person who killed Tabsile Shabane was a Swaziland citizen. We're struggling now to get other perpetrators who ran away and went back to Swaziland.
It's a terrible situation described, Nomasonto, and one that can only really be changed by proper education, debunking of these myths, and explaining what albinism actually is. The fact that this is a pigment disorder, it is to do with cells in the skin and the pigment that they produce. You need, though, pretty widespread, consistent, ongoing education in order for that message to seep through on a broad scale. Is enough being done, do you think, in the SADC region in particular, to make sure that education happens?
No. It is not enough, because remember, to sustain an organization like the Albinism Society, we need funding. You need to get people who will be educators on the issue of albinism, and those people must be paid. So we're trying to raise a lot of funds, and government has now come in. And now the United Nations has declared albinism a disability because of our visual impairment. So we are working very hard, one, for people with albinism to accept that they are disabled now. Two, is to consistently educating not only people with albinism, but even professionals, because it is a genetic condition. People did not realize that issue. So we will be working very hard, and keep on educating so that it is not going to be effective in this generation, because people already feel that we are lucky charms. It will only come after the next generation who will be born to know that it is a human right and people with albinism deserve the dignity of any other human being.
Now, Ms. Wanta, besides the risk of violent attack for the reasons we've just discussed, there are many other challenges faced by people living with albinism. Can we just, in closing, talk a little bit about the issue of social stigma?
Yes, the one is people with albinism, they themselves have low self-esteem, because you're born to a family that do not understand why you are white and they being black. And then it takes it further to say now there are a lot of myths that you must deal with as a person. The issue that people with HIV, men, if they have a sexual intercourse with a young women who have not reached puberty, so they will, their status will be cured, and that you find that all those myths around yourself, people, you are now fearing even to walk alone because you don't know when you can be abducted. You don't know the attitudes of the people as you walk, whether be it in a shopping mall, whether it is on your way to school.
Norma Saunter Mazibuko, thank you for chatting to us today. Can we leave our audience with a website address or Facebook page where they can reach out to the Albinism Society?
They will reach us at 011-838-6529 or at www.org.za, which is our webpage.
Norma Saunter Mazibuko, thank you so much for chatting to us. Chairperson of the Albinism Society of South Africa. So www.albinism.org.za. You can also look for their presence on Facebook.